We just need you to get a little bit sicker till so we can figure out what's going on. You are concave. You are so thin, you're not going to keep this baby to terms. Oh, you never really heal from Lyme. And I just was like, I don't consent to that. This feels to me like an act of self-hate.
My biggest flex in life is that when people ask me, are all of them yours? I get to say yes, every single one.
One of them, I didn't have a choice. I actually had a kid in 11 contractions at home.
Welcome back to Healthy as a Mother. I am your co-host, Dr. Morgan McDermott, and this is the show for becoming and being a mother, where Dr. Leah and I share our natural women's health and motherhood guidance that you've been looking for through our fresh, functional, and balanced lens. And today I am interviewing Alisa Seeland. She is the CEO of Fond Regenerative, the bone broth company, and tallow and all sorts of different really amazing regenerative foods. And Alisa is the mother of six young boys. So we talk all about health throughout human history and the uses of broth and how she got to the place where she is with a very long, complicated health history. We talk about big family systems, her birth stories. So that is really fascinating and fun. We have a lot of similarities between our stories in certain ways. She talks about her unique homeschool approach, one that I've never heard of before. It's kind of blowing my mind. I need to process it and think about it still because I think it's so smart. We talk about sports snacks and how to manage those kinds of things. What are the systems of how her family household works alongside running a business? And even the idea of how do we decide whether we're done having children or not? So I think you guys will really enjoy this. I feel like I could talk to Alisa for her. I think you guys will really enjoy this. I feel like I could talk to Alisa for 100 hours. So I think you guys are going to really enjoy this. Go ahead and have a listen. Okay. Hi, everybody. Welcome back and welcome, Alisa, to the podcast. I am so excited to have you. You are the CEO of Fond, which is the regenerative bone broth. Well, it's called Fond Regenerative. It's the bone broth that we have been using for the last couple of months and that you guys have been a very gracious sponsor of our podcast, which we so appreciate. But we really appreciate what you're doing. And I kind of went down like an entire rabbit hole one day learning that I did not even know that a lot of bone broth companies, when you buy that on the shelf, they're not even made of bones, or they're like a reconstituted powder, and just this entire thing, everything's a lie in life as we are realizing. So thank you and welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Yes. It's funny, you know, people ask me like, did you always want to do bone broth? And I'm like, no, but there was this cavernous need for a real product. And as you know, we'll share in a minute, I had a very serious health crisis. Bone broth and nourishment is what got me out of it. And so I wanted to share that with other people, but you're right. Yes. A lot of bone broth, and we also do tallow, and tallow is something that we wanted to do since 2019. We had no idea it would become like this trendy thing, and we launched it, and then all these other people launched it, and we're like, wait, the sourcing really matters because animals store fat toxins in their fat just like people do. And so we have to be careful. So it's always for us about quality and like helping the mamas out when they do not have time to watch a simmering pot of bone broth or to render their own tallow, because like I fall into that category, right? I needed these products in my life, and so I created them. I have very high standards, and I love sharing them with other mamas, and it's an honor to be here.
Yeah, thank you. I am not one of those people that makes it either. I don't know why, for some reason, like, you know, chicken breasts and chicken thighs, no issue. I cook with them all the time. But for some reason, to me, cooking an entire chicken body, and I have friends who are like, this is the dumbest, easiest thing in the entire world. Like, just do it and then you can make bone broth. And I have it in my head that I'm going to like mess it up or whatever. So to me, you know, it's just one of those convenience things. Like at some point in my life, I know I'll probably figure it out and be like, why didn't I just integrate that? But you can only do and take on so many things.
Yes.
And yeah, rendering your own tallow. Like, sure, I could do that, I guess, but I have four, almost five little kids. You have six, which we're going to get into. I really want to hear all about your big family life. So a huge portion of this podcast is going to be talking about like how to actually do things with a big family, because you just don't see them that often anymore. So you're going to be a little bit of a mentor for me, because I did not expect this to be my life. It's not like I grew up in a big family. So but anyway, yeah, I think that it's really shocking when we look around at the quality of things. People are like, oh, you know, they have the awareness, well, maybe bone broth is better than like stock. Okay. Yeah. So there's like a step up there. But then is it even real? Is it even made real? So let me read your bio and then let's just go ahead and just jump in. So, okay. Elisa Seelan is the founder and CEO of Fond Regenerative, maker of regenerative foundational foods, including bone broth, animal fats, and demi glaces. Elisa started Fond in 2015 following a life-changing personal health journey, and today she's on a mission to support generational health through time-honored nutrient-dense foods. She's also a mom to six beautiful boys. I love that you have all boys. That is so awesome. So I have one son, and I'm about to have four girls in a row.
Wow.
So doesn't it feel so interesting? I mean, I do have one of each, and so I recognize that, but I'm just like, what are the chances of this like run of, and you had even two more in addition to that of the same sex.
I know. It's crazy. I have, so I mean, not to just totally go there, but I have also had three miscarriages, and one of them we know was a baby girl. And so I've kind of wondered,
I'm so sorry.
Is there like a hormonal something there? But you know, the reality is it's super fun having them all be boys. It's like camp all the time. We have a blast. My oldest is only 13. So my spread is 13 to 2. And so we're able to do a lot together. Like we all, you know, we go to the baseball field and I might have five different games going on at the same time, but they're all there. Right. So there's some things, you know, we'll get into kind of the systems that we've done and just sort of the things Isaac, my husband, and I have adopted to just say, hey, yes, this works for a big family, or no, this doesn't. But yeah, so my healing journey really started postpartum. So something you talk about a lot. I was a working young professional in Cambridge, Massachusetts. My diet daily pretty much consisted of a cappuccino and a raspberry scone if I ate. And that was not sustainable. And so, you know, miraculously, truly, I got pregnant 2.5 years into marriage, and it was not planned. And I really started to just think, okay, wait, what I'm eating matters. This, so I started really cooking from scratch at that time and making the bone broth and cooking, you know, but it was more of just trying to take care of my body going through this thing. And once I, this thing being a beautiful experience of having a child, and I met with a midwife in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and she told me, you are concave. You are so thin, you're not going to keep this baby to term. So there was a real motivation for me to be like, well, that's not an option. I'm going to do whatever I can. And so I started making three meals a day, cooking everything from scratch. And it was really this beautiful discovery into this thing I actually loved, which was creating through food. And so that was really fun. But 5 months postpartum, I knew something wasn't right. And people are like, well, you're a first time mom, you know, it never really goes back. And I'm like, that's not what I'm talking about. Like, I'm talking about something feels off. And I had, unfortunately, this experience of I went to several medical practitioners, and they kind of put me in this box of like, well, it's your gallbladder, and it just goes through stress because of the hormones and pregnancy. And, you know, and so no one really looked into it. And then we did this other testing, and then I'll never forget, this nurse practitioner was like, we just need you to get a little bit sicker so we can figure out what's going on. And I was like, I have a little baby. I'm trying to figure out what's going on. I don't want to get sicker. And a little bit sicker was a lot sicker. I had an emergency appendectomy shortly after that. And in the post-op, the surgeon was like showing me pictures of my, you know, appendix almost being gangrenous. And like, he's telling me why this happened. And then he said, your gallbladder is really under stress. You need to have this out in like 3 to 6 months. Do you want to schedule it today? And I was so overwhelmed. I mean, just the trauma of saying goodbye to my husband and newborn baby after like going to the emergency room and then being like, okay, you have to go get operated on now, and just all that, and just in the whirlwind of that. And then to wake up and it's like, and it's not even over. And I was just like, my goodness, this cannot be the trajectory of my life. And so, you know.
And how old were you?
I was 23.
Yeah, so young. Like, absolutely not.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I'm kind of look back and I'm a little shocked. But anyway, 13 years later, I still have my gallbladder.
Yay. She got to stay.
I had five more babies, right? And really, you know, I like to say nutrient deficiencies caused the crisis that I had, and nutrient rich foods healed them. And just addressing the body has a high caloric need. Your brain, you know, if you're using your brain, which most of us are, it's an expensive metabolic organ. And most of us are just not eating enough to satiate our high output lives. And so I went on a bone broth diet. I felt better than I'd felt in my entire life. The girl who would never even have dreamed of touching chicken feet is now, I'm buying them from the farmer's market. I'm simmering them. I'm flavoring them. And my parents are like, what is happening? Like, who is this person? Because I was the pickiest eater growing up. And I really just, I felt like I found this key that was unlocking something in my body. And if I could give this to other people, it could unlock things for them too. And that continues to be the story today. It's so funny. At our first farmer's market we ever went to, the first person I ever gave the bone broth to said, wow, my body knows what to do with this.
Ooh, that's cool.
And I was literally at an event last week mentoring women entrepreneurs on this journey. And someone came up to me and she was like, do you ever have this experience where like your body just knows what to do with this? And I was like, yes, over and over, year after year, 11 years of being in business. Like I always hear this and I love it. And there's a lot we can kind of geek out about. I mean, if we want to go there about the prevalence of amino acids and just the collagen and gelatin, the body literally being able to create the proteins that it needs and send it places or use those peptides to heal other parts or support other parts or promote satiety so that you feel fuller, supporting brain health. There's a lot in the bone broth that as I've looked at and been so curious about, like, why is this so deeply nourishing? It's been amazing. So, because I used to actually take glycine as a supplement postpartum to help support, you know, not being so anxious in the transition of hormones. And I started just consuming copious amounts of the bone broth and found I didn't need the supplementation. I'm not saying that's for everyone, but that was really interesting, right? It showed up for me postpartum. It showed up for me when I had chronic Lyme disease and I would have these DNA tests that would come back and said, you know, you're deficient in these amino acids. And I was like, okay, that's in bone broth. I'm going to hit it hard again. And it was a big part of my wellness journey back from that. So it's the most humble of foods, but it's like just this Swiss Army knife for the body. It really is so awesome. So that's how I got started.
I appreciate your story. Thank you so much. And I'm also so glad you just mentioned glycine. And so before I forget, I want to mention to all of you who are pregnant, glycine is an amino acid that becomes conditionally essential during pregnancy. And that means that so there's some amino acids that are essential. We must get them from food. There's some amino acids that we can assimilate in our bodies. And conditionally essential means that under certain conditions, we need to be eating it in our food more, that we cannot just make enough in our bodies. And during pregnancy, glycine becomes one of those. So we just simply cannot make enough inside of our own bodies. We must consume it in our diet, in our foods during pregnancy because the demand is so high. And yeah, bone broth is one of the easiest ways to get such an enormous amount of, or not enormous, like it's too much, but in a perfect amount of glycine. And I think, so I have an anthropological history and training, and I love thinking about indigenous cultures and historical context of where humans came from, how we adapted all these different things. And it's like, as soon as humans had fire and we were hunting animals, you know, we were boiling bones. Like, you know, it was happening. We were doing it. I think it's such a long, it's like we've developed and evolved or adapted, however you want to think about the idea, with this as a food in our culture for all of time. It was like the way to get the last bit of everything. I mean, even like just accessing marrow or accessing, you know, just making even a more flavorful soup or something. But they knew that there was nutrients there, even if other food was scarce. Bones are such an easy thing for a population like that. You have to just know that. We also have it. I mean, we know literally from our studies, but it also just makes a logical sense. I think it clicks in. There's something about bone broth and humanity that just makes sense.
Yes. We need each other. Yeah. I mean, I think that's what's interesting. They have found Paleolithic man's soup kitchen. And it was like all of these bones, these marrow bones that were hanging and drying for the purpose of using them in times of scarcity or in times of, you know, they're making it with other things. And so it's really interesting. But yeah, it's absolutely correct. And so I had nutrient rich foods are important for me also because I went on to have five more baby boys. And so, you know, there is this relationship that sometimes we as women can have with food, where we're around food, we're preparing food, we are telling other people to eat food, but yet we're not consuming the food. And proximity does not mean that you are getting enough nutrients. And so I've done this well. I just want to be fully transparent. I've done this well and I've not done this well. I've paid the cost for not doing this well. And I've had to remind myself, remember when that happened? Remember when you went into chronic Lyme disease, right? Like just these things that, you know, so I don't say this from a place of judgment, but more a place of like that big sister encouragement of like, if you are growing babies, if you are raising babies, like if you are any in this motherhood stage, I'm a firm believer in we need to be more nourished than less nourished. So that's my soapbox on that.
100%. And I'm similar to you. I've also had Lyme disease too. So yes, that was my whole saga last year. I discovered that I had it about this time last year and I was really shocked. I didn't have a classic case. I think I inherited it from my mom, who actually just was positively confirmed that she also has it. She lived in Tennessee and stuff. I've lived here my whole life. And then, you know, college in Colorado, medical school in San Diego. So not in the places where Lyme disease is thought to exist, although it does exist outside of those places too. And there is some in California, there is some in Idaho, da, da, da. But I just did not, I've always been like that sickly kid, that sickly person, super fast metabolism. And as much as I do love food, I'm not somebody who enjoys cooking. I'm very fast. I'm very like going, doing all these things. I kind of tend to, in my normal state, if I'm left to my own devices, eat just enough to take the edge off and then like go again, you know? And I'm 6 feet tall and now I'm having my fifth baby. It's like I really resonate with this idea of the amount of food that I actually have to eat is sometimes like it's almost overwhelming because to eat well, the preparation and the quality, the ingredients, the cooking of it, the time that it takes, all of that stuff, it's just such it's like I've oriented my life to exclude food prep. And I get annoyed. I can very easily get annoyed. But if you take me to a restaurant where someone else is cooking or I go to like a potluck or at someone else's house, I will mow down. I just don't love to do it in my own spaces and in my own house. And so even just having things like bone broth around for a snack is so helpful to me. But yeah, most American women are undernourished, even if there is this like obesity component to things. That does not mean that you are overnourished like a king back in the day where they were eating like all this potentially awesome food. We are eating a lot of potentially very highly processed and nutrient lacking food that then puts adipose tissue on our bodies. But you may be completely starved of nutrients and probably are. And it's just very, very difficult. This is why we're also on this podcast. We're such pro prenatal people. I do think there's a few people who eat so, so, so well, they can probably forego a prenatal, but it is just not worth taking that risk, in my opinion, to be like, well, I'm going to be one of those people because I just don't want to take a synthetic vitamin. It's like, okay, well, I mean, there's bioavailable forms of those synthetic vitamins. Like, yes, they're made in a lab and your body knows exactly what to do with them. And do you want to have them in your body or you don't want to have them? Because with topsoil depletion and everything becoming less nutrient dense just naturally as time goes on, and then with all of the work that your body has to do metabolically to kick out all the toxins that we are exposed to all the time, it's working extra hard to live in this modern society as modern moms with social media and phones and everything moving so fast. Our brains and the stimulation, like you were saying, such a metabolically demanding organ. And they really are. Like, we are going, no breaks. No time to just stare at the grass. It's like, whoa, we're just flying through things nutrients-wise. I mean, like just burning them up, using them all the time. And then now you're adding in making an entire new human and then potentially feeding that baby with your body for a year or more or however long you breastfeed for. It is so much. It's a full-time job.
Yeah. Yeah. And with the boys, you know, the milk makeup is really different even for boys and girls. And so what they find is that the amount of fat in milk that's made for male children, the needs are a lot higher. And so what was fascinating for me is in these postpartum periods, I could not get enough fat. I could not get enough fat. And when my, I mean, I, you know, I did, I'm just saying I was eating it all the time. And so the other thing that I talk about a lot is, and especially, you know, I grew up in the 90s, I've got this, you know, I remember the 100 calorie packs, no fat, like all this crazy. I'm like, man, I cannot believe people ate like that. And, but we did. And, you know, it was fat free. And now, you know, so many things have paid the price for that. But I really want to encourage us not to be afraid of healthy fats, because that's one of the things, you know, I have not done everything well, but prioritizing this part of my life, I've been able to run a business and raise 6 children and not be in that constant state of nutritive depletion. And so I don't have baby brain. Like, people be like, how can I have a conversation with you postpartum? I'm like, that is really sad to me. Because that should not, you know, it's okay. It's okay if that's happening. Let's address it. Let's please, you know, eat some good fat. But that is something that people will say, like, I'm just shocked that you've had so many kids and like you can find your keys. And I'm like, yes, I can. And also, I want to come, right?
Yeah. You're like, yes, and you should be able to too.
Yeah, this is like, there's nothing special about me. I want everyone to be able to do this and to feel like, you know, if anything, so that I really resonate with, like, being sick all the time. I had a really unique, because you have a medical degree, I think you probably even know what it is, but I had an ectopic ureteral cell when I was 5. Whoa. And so when you're a baby developing and growing inside your mom, your kidney's in 3 parts, it grows together. The top 2/3 of mine never did. So it started rotting. And so by the age of 5, I went septic through, I mean, just a total... They don't know why it happened.
Wait, where were your adrenal glands then, sitting on top of those pieces?
Yeah, so they actually had to go in. It was a 14-hour surgery. And they had to go in and clamp each blood vessel to see which part was alive and which part was dead and just like all these different things. And so they actually didn't even know. They said, you know, we hope you have a period at 13. We have no idea how this is going to affect you. Like, we don't know if you're going to have kids. Like, there were just all these questions from this, you know, surgery when I was 5. And so that's part of why, you know, I chose to give birth in a birth center. And this is what I want to encourage you guys to do too, is like, allow your inputs and your needs to inform the decisions for you and your family. And so because I had that long stint in the hospital, because that was a place associated with fear for me and feeling left there for like all these other reasons. And, you know, it was just not a place that I felt comfortable giving birth at. Does that mean that's a place that's not safe? No. No.
Yeah, but for you, no, yeah. This is something I talk about all the time, because there are people who fear the idea of home or birth center birth so much that I'm like, okay, then it's not for you, because you're going to be freaking out the whole time. And you want to be wherever you're going to be safe. You feel safe. Yeah.
And supported. And so that's how, you know, when we moved to Texas, all of our babies have been born in a birth center or at home. And that was a journey to, you know, deciding how, you know, I did not want to give birth at home for a long time. And people were making fun of me, like, you have a baby in a birth center, what's different? And I was like, no, I want to go there. I want to do that. I don't want to bring that into my home. And one of them, I didn't have a choice. I actually had a kid in 11 contractions at home.
No. Which number?
A month early. Number four. My Jude. Oh my goodness. Just
wait a minute.
Crazy.
At 36 weeks?
No. Well, yeah. So he was really early. He was technically 38 weeks, but he was a month before his due date. But he was 8 pounds. Like, we were just, you know, it's like a birth month. But he was 4 weeks early from when I usually have babies, because I usually go like to 42 weeks.
I see. Okay. Wait a minute. And you had 11 contractions.
And he was here. I mean, like it was a crazy situation. There was we were very provided for. Like, it was a very safe delivery. Everything was great. And it ended up being super relaxing. So we just went to bed and called my parents in the morning. We were like, the baby's here. Of course, we had like the midwife and everything. Yeah. But they were like, what? How's this possible? We saw you like 12 hours ago.
Do you perceive, did you perceive it as like a more smooth, easy birth because it was so fast, or was it like a lightning strike?
It was lightning. It was lightning. And I mean, because I'd had so many babies before, I knew immediately when that head engaged, and I was like, no, but I can't do anything. Like, his body's telling my body it's go time, and my body's like, whoa, this is like, you know, we didn't even have newborn diapers because we're parent pros at this time. And we're like, we got 4 more weeks. I mean, I had not had a baby inside of 40 weeks, you know, the whole time. And so it was just, anyway, so it's just a funny thing. My sixth baby, I had at home, and he was one, you know, it's so funny what you think you need and then what the lessons that you are supposed to learn. I really wanted to deliver my sixth baby myself. I was like, this is, you know, they basically say my husband's a midwife because he like delivered all of them. And I'm like, no, this one's for me, right? Yeah. Like, I'm going to deliver this baby. Oh my goodness. He was 10 pounds. I did not have gestational diabetes. Everyone asked me that. He was 10 pounds. He was 24 inches long. I mean, he was just a massive child. And he got stuck. And I needed the expertise of midwives. I had 3 different people. I was in a very specific position. They would push on certain things when I put, and that was the only way he was able to be delivered. And so instead of having this, like, I am woman, hear me roar experience, I had this like, wow, I was in a place of need and people were there for me and I made it through. And that was something that, you know, I'm a firstborn. I'm very similar to you. I like to move fast. I like to be independent. I like to be self-sufficient. The lesson that was probably better for me, and this kind of gets into being a mom of a big family, is that I don't have to be everything. It's okay to need support. And when I need that, it's going to be there. And for a lot of reasons, like inner child, all these, like, that was really beautiful, even though that wasn't like the birth experience I wanted. So
we talk about this all the time on the podcast, that if you're the type of person who maybe is like a high achieving, or maybe into, you know, graduate school or master's, or you have your own company, or you're used to this level of productivity, control, high expectations, perfectionism. Yeah. Or maybe doing everything yourself because you're a firstborn. Motherhood is like a big old slap in the face. And the faster you can relax and surrender into that and let go of expectations, let go of the sense of control. I mean, I still struggle with it. My fourth birth was one of my more challenging ones in a couple of ways because of my expectations that I had for it. My first was a classic, like, so all of mine have been born at home as well. So same. My first one was super classic, like 36 hours long, you know, pushed for 3.5 hours. He was over 9 pounds. He was asynclitic and OP. Like, it was just, I know for a fact if I had been in a hospital, they would have like forced me into a cesarean. Everything was fine with him. It was just taking so long. It was just not on the timeline that they like, and very stop, start, whatever. Okay. Then my second birth was the lightning strike birth, where I'd had these contractions all day that I was like, my midwife was really kind of gaslighting me. She was like, no, you're a second time mom. It's prodromal labor. It can stop. Just like go about your day. And I was like, okay, I'm losing my mucus plug. Like, I don't know. But I knew the level of the contractions, like what they were going to get to. And these were so easy. So I was just like, this is, I don't know what this is, you know? And then all of a sudden out of nowhere at like midnight, I hit transition. And they went from like 10 minutes apart to 1 minute apart, lasting 2 minutes, or, you know, a minute and a half-ish. And she was born like 45 minutes later. And it was psycho. I like exploded out into space trying to just, I couldn't even exhale a full normal exhale because that amount of pressure. She was like, it was fetal ejection reflex. She was coming so fast. Sounds like you're fourth, right? I mean, not 11 contractions. There was more than that. But, and then my third birth, I was like the whole entire time, we only planned on having 3. So number 4 was a surprise for us. She has been such a joy. The whole family unit has enjoyed having another baby so much. We were like, okay, let's do another one. So that's why we're on number 5, but it was never the intention. But with my third birth, I was like, okay, this is my last baby. I really want to be so present for all of my births. And I would love it to be like 12 hours. So I really focused on that number. I was like, I want it to not be too long, not too short. Like, I want to know I'm in labor, because that was this hard part about my second birth. I'm sure for you, for the fourth too. Like, you don't even have time to get into the labor land hormones of, you know, protecting yourself with endorphins. There was no time for that. I was like completely lucid, just going, oh my God, this baby is coming out right now. My body is pushing. And I'd never felt that sensation before, because with my first, I had to push with everything I had. I actually broke my xiphoid process, like at the end of my sternum, that little bone tip now sticks like straight out into my skin because of how hard I was pushing. Anyway, And her birth was amazing. My third birth was like so easy. She was also 2 pounds less though than my first two babies. So that was a big deal. And it was just like the Goldilocks thing. So for my fourth, I really had all these high expectations that came to bite me in the butt in like the worst way. I, for the first time, went late. So I went, she was born at 41 weeks. I had 10 days of prodromal labor with her. I labored like all through the night when I thought she was gonna be born in the middle of the night. Like all of a sudden it was 6 a.m. and I just had this breakdown. You know, there was all these things. And I know before we started recording, we were talking about, you know, I want to hear all your tips about having a big family because, and you were saying expectations is one of the things, like managing expectations. And it is so hard. So anyway, I really want to hear all about that for you and how you manage this. Also, can you just tell me all their ages? If they're 13 to 2, what, how old are they all?
Yeah. So this is another, my second was really similar to yours. So my first one, exactly like that. I agree. I would have had a cesarean because it wasn't on their timeline. So much I'm resonating with what you're saying. My third was my Goldilocks. So like lots of parallel there. My first born, his name's Ezra. He's 13. And then our second was 15 months later. So a part that we don't talk about a lot in my story is I went in for an additional follow-up from, you know, the surgeon wanted to see me again, just see how the gallbladder was doing. And he was like, "You're pregnant." And I was like, "No, I'm not. I just had a baby." And he was like, "Well, I understand, but you are having another one." And I was like, because I was exclusively breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, you know, but it was beautiful for me to be able to breastfeed. My mom had tried and just did not have support. And she was just so sweet and tender and so supportive with me. I'm just like so grateful because I had a hard time with my first one at first. And just anyway, it's a whole thing. But so I was under the impression that if I was exclusively breastfeeding and I had not had a period that I couldn't get pregnant. And here I am. And so that was another like high nutrient need. I'm breastfeeding, I'm growing a human, and I'm recovering. Still the reality, right? The reality is I'm still recovering. And so thankfully, you know, I was 24, right? Like very young to be able to recover from this. But yeah, so it was a lot. And the supplement regimen I went on, you know, my midwife had me write it down so that other women who were also, you were talking about taking supplements. Like I am a firm believer that if we're in a place of overnourishing and you're peeing out excess nutrients because your body doesn't need it, that is a beautiful thing in pregnancy. Like,
right. Let's do it.
Let's be there. But yeah, I mean, so I, because my placenta, they being able to watch me with both births, my placenta was healthier with my second.
Wow.
And that was just such a gift. And also like the body is resilient and you can nourish yourself in a way that you are able to do this. And so it was a grace. It was also, but yeah. And his, you know, birth was really fun. We didn't find out because it was so fast. It was like, what is happening? So we didn't find out with him. I set the birth center record. It was not like 45. It was a minute and 29 seconds that we were in the birth center.
No.
And he was, then he was born.
So you literally like were standing in the lobby? Like, did you even get into a room?
They were like, "Can you walk up the stairs?" And I was like, "Possibly." Like, I was like, and then, you know, the midwives are like, okay, sometimes, right? Because they have to deal with the other spectrum where it's like, no, that baby's not coming yet. But like she checked me, she was like on the stairs and she was like, "Yep, he's crowning." So they helped get me into the house and then get me into the tub. And then I was able to have a water birth with him. But it was very fast. I mean, it was like very fast, but it had been happening all day. It was just, but yeah, my third was my absolute favorite. He was born at like 7 p.m. We like went to bed at 10. Like it was like, you know, just the
perfect. Yeah. Just like a normal day.
And I was like, I've done this twice. I've had the fast, I've had the slow, like I'm kind of prepared for whatever situation. And we were running Fond at the time, running the farmer's markets and busy into that life. It was an exciting time. And so, but yeah, so our second is, he's 9. So we've got 13, 11, 9, 7, 4, and 2.
I have a confession to make that will probably knock the socks off of some of you crunchy moms. And please don't make fun of me for this, but listen, I don't make bone broth, okay? I don't. Sue me. I like to buy it instead. And maybe one day I'll get my act together, but for now I rely on brands like Fond to make real actual bone broth from scratch, just the way that I would at home. Fond uses actual bones, not just rehydrated powders like a lot of brands. And their animals are verified regenerative, 100% grass-fed or pasture-raised, and the vegetables that they use are organic. And as you've heard us talk about in the past, there are certain foods, like bone broth, that have been used in pregnant and postpartum populations throughout human history, preferentially more so in those populations, due to their healing benefits on the body. So providing the connective tissue nutrition or optimal gut health and healing so that our bodies can make new life healthfully. Fond has several different flavors to choose from in beef and chicken broth, from unflavored to things like the classic garlic and lemon, to even a turmeric and black pepper with added health benefits. But then they also have foundational fats like tallow and lard as well. Make your family building season easy and choose Fond for your shelf-stable glass bottle bone broth that you can use in soups, with rice, or just for sipping like I do because they taste that good. Check the link in the show notes or go to fondregenerative.com and use code HEALTHYMOTHER for 10% off and nourish yourself with Fond. Oh my gosh. Wow. Okay. So I have almost all of those, but minus your first two, because I have 10 or kind of, I have 10, 7, 5, 2, and then I'm like 20 weeks. Yeah. Or 22 weeks, whatever it is. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so crazy. What about your fifth birth? How was that one?
Beautiful, because I really felt that Lyme disease stole the baby in between. And I found out, you know, I was having blackout panic attacks and we didn't know why. So I had a neurological Lyme disease where I actually didn't have like very many aches or pains or anything like that. It was all like just, I would be, it was almost like a seizure. Like I would be like triggered by something and my body would just like, I couldn't handle it. And the amount of times like the fire department had to come to the house because I was like passed out. I mean, it was just, it was really, really scary. And I, what triggered it was I had a really bad miscarriage and I wouldn't have really known, except my doctor was being really sweet at the time. I went in, he was like, I think I know what's going on. They said, hey, your lab results are in, but the doctor wants to call you on Monday. Well, I miscarried over the weekend. And on Monday he called me to tell me I was pregnant.
Oh,
and I was like, yeah,
nope. You're like, yeah,
not any. No. So what was really sweet is I went on this Lyme disease protocol. I had like this really beautiful, you know, 2 years of healing. And I have this dream that I'm pregnant. And I'm whole. And then in the dream, I'm also holding a baby. And I was like, what? Like, could I? Because one thing during Lyme disease that everyone said, whether it was osteopathic or naturopathic or my traditional MD, it was like, okay, you cannot have kids like you're anymore. Like, you guys are done. You have a beautiful family. Just like focus on healing. And, you know, that was my longest break, right?
And you had 4 at that time?
Yeah. And I was like, okay, you know, like we were like, okay. And I'm just, you know, however long it takes. And so I have this dream that I'm holding this baby. And I was like, I think I need to take a pregnancy test. And I was pregnant. And it was like, just beautiful. It was such a beautiful experience. Everything. We named him Asher Isaac, which means happy laughter, because everything. And like his labor was like so gentle. And like, just, I think that's why with number 6, I actually wanted to do it by myself. Cause like I almost did the whole thing, just like labored just really beautifully. And I'd never had one like that before. That was like slower, quiet. I'm basically doing it by myself. And then I'm like at 9 in the morning, I'm like, okay, I'm ready to go in. And then he's here by 11. Right. Wow. And so it was this really beautiful healing experience after that. And so that was really fun. Yeah. And then, you know, Sam, my midwife said it the best. He's double wild card. Number 6 is a double wild card. oh man. But he is a delight and he brings so much humor and joy into our life. But like, we have 6 kids and he is totally different. He is totally different than everyone else. I mean, he is his own man and we love it. And his birth was totally different. Right. I mean, it is so. But yeah.
So go ahead.
No. I was just saying, we were talking pre-roll about expectations and you know, one of the things that I think was really, really hard for me for a long time was that I assumed people knew when they were speaking into my life what it was like to have a large family. So we would get comments like, and I'm trying to think of like a good example now, but we would get comments like, well, how come you guys can't do that? or, well, huh, you know, I know, and they were always sort of like negative in nature. And then I would be like, oh, like we're underperforming is kind of where my performance mindset went to, is like, oh, we're not meeting like expectations. And it was, you know, it would happen in situations that feel dumb, but it's like, you know, either in a school setting where it's like, oh, so-and-so is falling behind in reading. Are you guys able to, you know, read to him at home? And I'm like, yeah, we read to him. But I'm also just like, we also have a reality of, I have several kids I'm reading to at the same time when I'm reading a bedtime story. So there are just things where we've had to be like, okay, yes, not a lot of people have large families now. And I think the biggest thing that our boys have had to make peace with is the amount of people that comment on how many of them there are. And we have really talked about, you know, being sweet and smiling. And you can feel what you're feeling. That's okay if that makes you frustrated that people are doing that. But we do need to not be rude, right?
Right.
People are like, oh, you have such a beautiful family. Are there 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6? And we were just like, yes, we love it. And because yep. we do, because we love having a large family. And my husband comes from a family of 11. And so, you know, we kind of always joked, we were, when we were dating, I was like, I'm only going halfway, which is funny because like we basically did, you know, but we love it and we love having a big family. And we, a lot of people are very sweet and tell us it's very beautiful when they see us around. And the thing that people want to know mostly is like, how do we feed them?
Yeah. Well, that is, as I'm, and you're starting to get into the teenage territory too. And I kind of look yeah. around and I'm like, sometimes my son, depending on the food, if he really likes it, he can eat almost double the amount that I can eat. But then if he's not really into it, you know, he'll eat less. But I'm like, there will be a day when, my husband and I are both really tall too. He's 6'5" and I'm almost 6 foot. And so our son particularly is just, has always been a monster, like so huge, and is tracking to be enormous. And I'm like, the amount of food that we yeah. are going to go through. But real quick also about like, you know, people, they haven't, I'm just now starting to wear tight clothing. I mean, I'm showing a lot, but it's now like really obvious to strangers. So when I'm out in public with all of them, I'm getting a little bit more of those comments again. But I don't know if you've seen that real trend that's going around right now. That's like, my biggest flex in life is that when people ask me, are all of them yours? I get to say yes, every single one. And I just love that. I think it's such a sweet reframe because yeah, they, people are, either, I don't know, so far from me, but you also have two more than I have, you know, it's either that they're very like old and sweet and nostalgic on it. And they're like, oh, that is so awesome. Like you're going to have so much fun. Like one old man said that to me one time, like, you're going to have so much fun. And I was just like, oh, you're so sweet. Or they're like glaring and they don't really say anything, but you can tell that they're just like disgusted by children or something. And I'm like, you know what? Get out of here. Do you have yeah. mean things people say to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, people tell us all the time, like, don't you know how that happens?
Yes.
Especially what's interesting for me is that when the babies are here, they're kinder. But when I would be pregnant, they mm-hmm. were always really rude. And, you know, when I had Lyme disease, I had people tell me all the time, this is unrelated, but I'll make the connection. Oh, you never really heal from Lyme. And I just was like, I don't consent to that. I don't consent to that. And what I want you to also hear, you know, mama's listening in, is like, just because someone says it to you doesn't mean you have to make an agreement with that statement. And in fact, I'm really careful what I make agreements with that people say. Because
will you say back to them, I don't consent to that? Literally, you'll say that sentence?
No, I will say it in my head to not just be like totally rude.
Yeah, okay, because I was sometimes, like, damn, we're all good at it.
Yeah. No, but sometimes I would, like, given the occasion, you know, I would say, I mean, I don't think I ever said that with Lyme disease, but I will say when people are like, wow, your life must be a lot, and I'll say, it's a lot of fun. Or, you yeah. know, I do that, like, quick reframe. But yeah, a lot of people would say, don't you know how that happens? Don't you guys have a TV? And it's funny because it's always, like, the same, this shame associated with sex. And I'm like, as such, like, a sex-obsessed culture, the fact that we're, like, trying to make people feel shame that they have sex, I'm like, what is this?
Like, yeah, yeah.
world that we live in where it's like, oh, you got caught. And it's like, no, I'm having a, like, this is like a beautiful thing.
This is literally the purpose of sex.
Yes.
Yeah, this is what sex is for, actually.
You don't get to make me feel shame that I'm having a baby. And that's what I mean, too. Like, pregnancy is a time where I feel like a lot of people will speak fear over you, especially if you're doing, you know, I had someone tell my dad early on, like, about me having home birth, you have to stop this. You have to stop this. And my dad was like, she's an adult and gets to decide how this happens. But I mean, that, you know, that level of just fear and intervention. And yeah, so people definitely are unkind sometimes. But I think it comes more from a place of, and this is where I get into like expectations as a culture of perfectionism. And this is like, I am on a tear against perfectionism because I think it is so destructive. So people look at us and they're like, I'm barely treading my head above water. How in the world do they have this many kids? How mm-hmm. in the world are they doing all of this? And so they project on us this like, you know, expectation that they have for themselves, and then they wouldn't be able to live up to that standard. And then, so they don't like us. And we have made a lot of decisions so that our life does work. Like we homeschool, we put our kids in school for 2 years, and, two of our kids slid back in their learning, and we were like, we're not doing this amount of effort in like dropping them off and picking them up and doing the car line thing for them to regress educationally. Like, we are just not going to do that. And so they're still homeschooled even now. And we do one subject a day. So we have a community day. We do classical conversations, and that's a community day. And then we do Latin logic on one day, we do grammar and English on another day.
And that's all you'll do in that whole day is just the one subject. That's actually so brilliant, because then you're not like pulled. The hardest part to me about homeschooling, and my kids kind of go to like a hybrid now.
Oh, that's great.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, you're good.
Okay. They go to a hybrid now, but we still do have to do like math and English at home. But when I was doing everything at home by myself, it was like, okay, the fourth grader has this science and this language arts, and then the social studies of the first grader is like, da 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 da. And it just became so chaotic to me so quickly. But wow, what, I've never heard of anyone doing that. I've talked to a lot of homeschool moms because I'm like, how do you guys do this? I don't understand, especially when you have toddlers. The toddlers ruin everything. Or I know that you can reframe and think about them as the lesson, but that is really hard for me. A baby and homeschooling is like oil and water. I don't know how do you do that? Like, you've had a baby all the time, at all times. Yeah. How do you do that?
I mean, so with Sam, we did not, right? Sam is when they went to the charter school. That was still classical, and we loved it. We actually had a positive experience there. It was just, you know, our two kids that were falling behind, and we were like, no. And I didn't have a baby. So the baby stage is very real. The baby stage is very real. And especially if you have, like I did, you know, it was a difficult pregnancy with Sam. It was a difficult postpartum recovery. We were in a difficult stage in our business. It made sense to let someone else take care of that and to entrust their education when we physically couldn't do that. And so I have not had this, and I still to this day, I don't have this, I have to homeschool my kids or I've failed them. That is absolutely not the way that we approach things. We think there are amazing schools out there. We also know having 5 kids in the school system now, that's 3 different schools that we would be driving to and picking up from. We only currently have 2 drivers. Right. Then there's all the extracurricular activities and the sports after those. And for 2 years, you know, we have very athletic kids. And for 2 years, I saw my older 2 kids during basketball, baseball, and football season, maybe for an hour, like from 4:30 to 5:30. And then they're sometimes practicing or at games until 10 p.m., which people don't believe. But I'm like, no, if you're a baseball mom, you know, sometimes those games are until 10 p.m. And then I'm like, so we've made decisions in our life to say, okay, sports are important to our family, and so is the good education. So we are going to do club sports, and we are going to do homeschool, and this is how we're going to do it. And, you know, our kids will probably, I mean, we just take it year by year. We take it year by year, and they'll probably go to a high school, right, that has sports opportunities, but there are also increasingly club sports opportunities for homeschool kids. And so we're also open to, hey, you know, we found that we were putting our kids into a system that we had opted out of, and we were training them for that system. And as people who own their own businesses and who get to pick our own schedule, we really wanted to allow our kids to have that more play in their day, more rest, more freedom. And it was also difficult to, for us, I love the hybrid system, by the way, we're still looking for that here. Because I do think there's a practical side where it's helpful. But for us, you know, also just the nutrient, like it was so expensive to feed them the way we needed to feed them and send them to school with a lunch every day. Like that was probably the most expensive 2 years of our life because they were eating away from the home two, sometimes, you know, if you include snacks, like two or three meals. So it was just, or, you know, two or three times. So we did that not as a judgment for other people, because it's what it worked for our family. And when we left, people were like, why are you leaving? And we were like, well, because this works better for our family. We actually loved this. Like, it was sad. We had tears when we didn't go back, even though we had peace about what we were deciding. So you can hold both.
It's my favorite thing about homeschooling is the flexibility. Like every year, and there is a little bit of like, you know, you probably went to public school. Yeah, I did.
Yeah,
and so did I. And I loved it. I was a total nerd. I enjoyed my time. But 90s elementary and junior high and high school is not what it's like anymore, you know, where you know the same kids and all that kind of stuff. Like those elements, I do get sad for my kids a little bit, where I'm like, this is not my 10-year-old has probably been in six different schooling, you know, modifications of various, like a Montessori blend thing, all sorts of, none of my kids have been to a public school at this time. And we kind of think like probably for high school, yes, but we'll see, like, we'll just get there and we'll see. I don't know. And I love the ability to change our minds and be flexible and, well, what's happening right now that, yeah, is going to work. So who is it, you or is it your husband who's doing the schooling? As we're talking about birth and postpartum support, I want to share an underrated tip with you. That tip is to continue taking your prenatal. Pregnancy and postpartum are the most nutritionally demanding phases of a woman's life. Many women stop taking their prenatal after birth, but we recommend taking it for at least the first 9 months postpartum or the entirety of the time that you're breastfeeding. My favorite prenatal is Needed's Prenatal Multi, and it's the most robust formula that I've seen in the market. It contains bioavailable nutrients in their evidence-based dosages, well above the bare minimum that a lot of prenatals settle for. Their quality standards are top tier with transparent third-party testing, and over 10,000 practitioners now recommending the brand. And now we have the results from their IRB-approved clinical study that confirm the results of what we've been seeing clinically. Women who take the prenatal multi have significantly higher blood levels of critical nutrients for pregnancy and postpartum. This includes vitamin D, B6, B12, riboflavin, vitamin K2. Only women in the Needed group reached the adequate, sufficient levels of vitamin D. Vitamin D plays a big role in your immune health, your mood, and your energy production, all things that are really important during your postpartum season. And while there's many different ways that you can support yourself postpartum, continuing to take your prenatal is a really simple, easy way to cover all your bases. It's one of the most impactful habits that we can have, and Needed makes it easy. Learn more about the study at thisisneeded.com/thrive and use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 20% off your first order. Yes, Healthy Mother, like a little affirmation for yourself.
So here's the thing with Isaac and I, we do both.
Okay.
This is the biggest, I think, point of view shift for larger families is like, mom cannot do everything.
Yep.
There's just literally actually zero way that mom.
Well, and you own a business though too.
Yeah. So we both run the business and we both homeschool the kids, and we have different things that we do according to our skill sets in that. And we actually both make the food. Like, it is a partnership. And I mean, we love each other very much, and we are also, it is a partnership. Like, my husband has to help, not has to, sometimes better than me, but he, you know, he does laundry or dishes, or I do laundry or dishes. Like, there are just, and our kids participate in the chores and the laundry and hanging out, you know, as a family.
Because they have time, because they're home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're able to, people are like, you know, we have two rabbits, two cats, and two dogs. And people are like, how do you have pets on top of this? And I'm like, Well, there's more time to like, and then that's also a skill we want them to learn, like responsibility, how to take care of something. And so we, you know, we enjoy the opportunities and I think the efficiency that homeschool has allowed us. But yeah, Isaac and I are partners. I mean, he co-founded Fond with me. He is responsible for a lot, if not all, of like the branding, the visuals, and he is just an amazing, you know, and like I said, he basically delivered our babies. Like, I mean, he's an honorary midwife is what they say.
Same thing with my husband. He's like such a birth pro now at this point. I'm just like, you don't even know. I love that. No, and my husband are the same. He's the same way. We don't have a business that we co-own, but he works from home. So we have a very like 50-50 split on a lot of things. We do have a little bit more, he does this, I do that, probably, then it sounds like you and your husband. But I just love hearing the way that people do it. And that's such a unique one subject a day. I'm like literally mind blown about that. I love hearing this because it would not work for your family very much, most likely, if you were trying to teach all subjects every single day.
It's very the code shifting from subject to age to subject to age was really difficult for me and not practical. And so this is where we get back to like my, you know, my war on perfectionism, which mm-hmm. really comes from a place of like speaking this to myself first, again, not a place of judgment, but yeah. I was like, oh, I just don't know if I'm investing in them the way that I should. And I just don't. And it was just always from this place of like, but did they really get that lesson? Or like in Fond, like when we would do something, I would be like, did I really give that my all? And like was always approaching things from this artificial like standard of perfection that actually no one was asking me to rise up to. And I started, you know, I was journaling one day and I kind of was like, this feels to me like an act of self-hate. Like I'm pursuing this goal that no one is asking me to be. Like my children want my presence. They want my attention. They want my love. They're not asking for perfection from me. And in Fond, like just this shift of like, wait a minute. I love the gifts and the blessings that homeschooling is offering us. I've never said it was the perfect way to raise my children. I don't know if that exists. I know that I'm being faithful and I'm doing this and these are things that I love about it. And I'm aware of the things that I feel like are not great about it. And we're, you know, either we're trying to address those or we're just aware of them, right? And it's like, hey, some things are just not going to be perfect. And you know, I was really thinking about perfection as the enemy of like good, because there is this sense where like something can be good. And yeah, it's not perfect. Right.
Right. Like a dirty home or something. Like, yeah. Just because you have like literal dog hair piles in the corners of the house, like my house and probably yours too.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that you're, like, we just put so much, yeah, it's, I think there is this expectation, like, I love what you said that about people looking at their own level of expectation for their lives and then looking at us with so many kids and saying, there's no way I could do that. And it's like, no, you could and you would. It would just look very different from the way that you're living right now. And it did look that way differently for me when I didn't have any kids. 0 to 1 was my biggest transition. That was an entire life-changing wait, what? What do you mean I don't get to just work harder and then get what I want? Like, what? I have to do this dance with this other being who has their whole own personality and like lip and tongue tied mouth that's making my nipples bleed? Like, what do you mean? I just, that whole thing blew my mind up. And I was 24 when I had my first. So kind of similar, like young and sorry, I was 26. I was 24 when I met my husband, 26 when we had him. But that, it's like, no, you would be able to do it and you could do it. You would just not have the very perfect aesthetic. You wouldn't seasonally decorate perfectly the way that you do right now. You blah, 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 blah. I don't even know, you know. And for me too, as a naturopathic doctor, obviously I have high standards with the way that we eat and live. And I've had to kind of reel it back a little bit in some ways and be like, meals can be really simple. Like they can just be, what are we eating here? Are we getting a vegetable at some point? Are we getting a fruit at some point? And is that ideal for every single day? No, but if I'm not going to live this constantly like super stressed out life, which is not serving anyone, and it would be much more toxic on my actual health, then sometimes I have to let go of stuff. And it's just the way that it's going to be. Like, sometimes we're going to go eat that thing or do that, or we're not going to be able to buy that organic, or we're going to wear Crocs in the summer. Like, okay, are they the best? No, but like, my kids don't want to wear Keens. They don't want to wear whatever. They're like too stylish. So I don't know what to do about some of these decisions. And I'm not going to force it to fit in this perfect box of what's happening. There's certain priorities that I have that are very high and very strong values. And then the rest has to just be flexible. But it is something I'm still really, I butt my heads up against these ideas every single day. Like, with just the chaos of all the needs and stuff. Like, when they're all asking you things at the same time or talking to you, like, do you have a system for this or what is your perception on that?
Oh yeah. So actually children find a sense of comfort in order, and they want to know the expectations. And so one of the things that we do is, by having a daily schedule, we eliminate, what are we doing? What are we doing today? What are we looking at today? What am I doing today? And I'm just like, times, you know, six is like, blah. And when you have a schedule, so a lot of people think homeschool is just unschooling. And for some people, it totally can be. But for us, it's not. We definitely have a schedule. We're definitely looking to be completely done with school between 12 and 2, like depending on the day and the meeting schedule. And we love that our kids have more free time. But they also know, like, they don't get that until the schoolwork is done. And we're also not always, like, other people can say, well, homeschool works so independent. I mean, we're really working with them and we're spending time together. And, you know, I'm spending at minimum like 30 minutes on an English lesson and then 30 minutes on an English lesson, but they're both there. And so the 12-year-old or almost 12-year-old, 12 in 2 days, can listen to what the 13-year-old's learning and be like, oh, okay, I'm doing that next year, right? And so there is this benefit, or the 13-year-old's like, oh, I remember when I did that, and this is what was. So there's a beautiful kind of give and take there. But our home, and my husband is really good about this and has been way better at me than, I mean, there's the perfectionism thing again. We're good partners, and he's very helpful to me because he's like, we have to get more organized. And so even if when I think we're organized and I'm like, we're doing pretty good, he's like, here's other ways we could be more organized. And so that is, organization in our home is essential because of the number of people and because of the number of sports. And we just have to be organized and we have to be tidy. We like to say we're tidy. You know, yes, we don't want you looking in the corners for the dog hair. But we have to be. There's too many people it'd just be absolute, you know, chaos. And so we have an expectation. They have a chore chart. And it's not dissimilar. People are like, oh, I can't believe your kids have to help out. I'm like, well, it's not dissimilar to, like, they have classroom responsibilities sometimes, right? They have, you know, things they have to tidy in the classroom. They have to keep their area clean. That's really what we're asking of them to do at home. And so we prioritize organization. Like I said, we have a schedule. We have our school schedule and our chore schedule. And within Fond, we're actually, it's funny because the running the business and raising the children, you know, they feed off of each other. And so one of the things that we're looking at now is actually redoing our meeting structure in Fond to be more similar to what we do in homeschool at home. So, hey, we're going to focus on all of our marketing initiatives on this day, and we're going to talk about marketing on this day. And then we're going to talk about product launches on the next day. And we just focus and you lean in and you're not so distracted, because some things take more than an hour to really get into. Right. And sometimes you have to really, like, you have to go back to the thing and you have to be like, okay, we said this. Do we agree? Do we think this is still right? So it's been fun to see how something in our family life could potentially have an impact on how we structure the business also. So,
yeah, like batching. It makes so much sense to me, because when I go to sit down to work, it takes my brain a good amount of time to get into that mindset and flow state of, okay, what am I doing? What am I thinking about? You know, it actually, probably a lot of things would work better if that's the way that it was structured. I wanted to ask you, because I keep thinking of it, because I didn't ask in the beginning. What's the story behind the name Fond, F-O-N-D?
So fond means foundation or base in French. And you have to remember when I started the company, or when Isaac and I started it almost 11 years ago now, people did not believe us when we said what you eat affects your health. They just didn't have that framework. And so we wanted it to be the foundation of your culinary and your nutritional life, because a lot of times when people think foodie or they think indulgence, they're not thinking healthy. And we really wanted to reframe for people, like, how can we make bone broth, this most humble of foods, decadent? How can we make it a treat? How can we make it something that you're like, I'm so excited to enjoy that? I like to tell people, like, I'm the biggest comfort food eater. It's just never for me like a chocolate cake. That's just not what I'm... That's not my comfort food. The other day I had like this amazing like Parmesan, you know, cabbage. And I was like, this is comfort food. I'm so pro comfort food. It's just, it's not, you know, a bag of Oreos.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Fawn, I love that. And because I was like, okay, is it like I'm fond of that? I like that thing because it, you know, it has a couple of double meanings. Okay, so when you guys are done homeschooling, and then you're going to, you do business time. That's like fun time. Yeah. In the afternoon.
Yeah. So for me, it's my only time to myself is either in the morning or late at night. And because as we know, like late at night is not good for hormones. Mm-hmm. I have to wake up early in the morning. So I work at my like alone flow state work is really happening in the morning before the kids are up. And sometimes that's an hour and a half. Sometimes that's 2 hours. I've stopped like when I wanted it to be a specific amount of time and it wasn't always that, it would really bother me. And so I just had to be like, look, I'm just working within a 1.5 to 2 hour range, and I have to make peace with sometimes it's less. And for us, it's also having a meal plan. Like, it sounds silly, but it's like not having to think about, oh shoot, what's in the fridge and what am I going to make? You know, Isaac and I talk through the schedule. I'm responsible for most of the food also because I love it, but you know, he helps out. He has meals that he makes. He also is mostly responsible for the protein. So like if he's grilling something, or, you know, I can make the mains, or I can make the sides. And so I think that's the other thing too, is I work in the morning, then we have we know what we're going to do for breakfast. We make that, we have a reading time together as a family. And then I'm doing meetings one day, usually in the morning, while he teaches math and logic. And then he does meetings in the afternoon. And then on the next day, same schedule, but he's doing meetings right in that morning time, not the pre-breakfast, like the morning chunk. And then I'm doing grammar, English, and then we switch in the afternoon. So it just looks a lot of like there's an order to it, and there's a schedule. But again, even within that, and then with sports, we have to be done by 4:30. I mean, every day it's like we have to be done with the business. We have to be done with, you know, with the food and with the kids by 4:30, because we are off to sports. And so our most restful times of year are like, you know, in sports off seasons. And
I also have been a baseball mom for the last 3 years. This is the first, oops, just kicked my camera there. This is the first spring that my son is not playing baseball. He is doing flag football instead. And I'm like, the freedom that I now have. And, you know, I love it. He loved it, but it was just sort of time. It was like, let's explore some other things and see, and we'll probably get back there. But man, I had no clue that baseball was so time consuming, and these double headers, and then they want you to be there an hour early, and they're always 30 minutes away. And I'm like, so my entire Sunday is baseball? And everybody's just like, yeah, duh. Like, I'm like, you guys are like so used to this, you don't even realize how bonkers this is. Like, I'm used to the 45-minute basketball game. You know, that's what I was expecting when I was having kids. And they're like, well, get used to it. You know, anyway, I really feel you. Okay, I love this system that you just outlined. I think it makes so much sense. So you have no consistent childcare then on a day-to-day basis?
No. So we had a nanny for 3 years and we loved her, and she's amazing. She had her own kiddos, and I decided not to do a nanny was because, as positive as that experience was, and like seriously, she's like became a part of our family. We still like see, we love them. I always felt like the kids got to do the fun stuff with someone else. And if I'm working hard so that we can also enjoy this lifestyle, I want to do the fun stuff and I want to be a part of that. And so that's where we just made the decision. And this is what I mean of like, it's not perfect. So we went to Expo West this year. Whole Foods interviewed me. One of the CEO of Whole Foods interviewed me there for their podcast. And we brought the whole family and we did a trip to Malibu in the beginning. And was that harder? For sure it was harder. For sure it was harder. But it was more meaningful for us to do it together for the boys to see, oh, this is a little bit also of what mom does, right? We know she, you know, works in the home office, but like what else does she do? And so that was good for them to see. They've actually walked the Natural Products Expo floor before. They love it. They think it's better than Disneyland, which is so funny. But yeah. And I mean, like we bring them along with us and, you know, my husband was there and he was there to give me a big hug after I finished the podcast. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, that costs us something. There are sacrifices that we make of time and money and like maybe a little bit of efficiency, but it's worth it for us to do life together. And so that's, you know, that's a little bit of like what I mean, where sometimes it just doesn't, I get it. I get the people that show up to Expo, their kids are, you know, with childcare and they are focused and like they are there for the 3 days. I'm not saying there's no merit to that. I understand that. And I totally could see myself being that person, but we've just made the decision to like bring the kids into it, to bring them along for it. There's a situation in which the amount of time we have to put into the business could become competitive with the kids. So we're building it as a family.
Electrolytes are trending, yes, but they have been in need of our human bodies for all of time. And if you're drinking another popular and delicious salty electrolyte, here's why you should be drinking Relight instead. First of all, have you ever considered the salt source of these other brands? Because most of them just use table salt. Yeah, table salt. You don't want that. Redmond's Relight Powders uses their unrefined ancient sea salt that they mine in Utah. This salt source contains 60 plus trace minerals along with calcium, chloride, potassium, and magnesium in two different forms, glycinate and malate. The minerals that they use in the Relight Powders are all in the appropriate proportions and forms too. The metabolic needs of pregnancy, healing postpartum, and milk making require more minerals than in other times of your life. Pregnancy itself demands huge increases in your blood volume, which takes, you know, more minerals. Relight is the perfect blend to be sipping during your pregnancy or during your labor even, and especially while you're breastfeeding. It tastes amazing, and my favorite flavors oscillate between mixed berry, lemon lime, and the strawberry lemonade. But you can try a sample pack and try all the flavors for yourself and see what you think. Use code HEALTHYMOTHER to save 15% on your entire Redmond order. That includes their OG sea salt, other seasonings, bentonite clays, toothpaste, and more.
Yeah, I think that that's so cool. They're going to grow up and have all these memories of their entrepreneurial family. And to see that, it's part of one of the cool things about homeschool, because they don't get those opportunities in a lot of instances to be that close and upfront to see the way that the inner workings of a business. What is it actually like? I think that's awesome. So, I mean, because I would also, it's just easier without the kids. Part of me would be like, no, I'm going by myself, blah, blah, blah. But there, when you're speaking about that, my body is like, oh no, but that's how it's supposed to be. And you're so right. We have a nanny that comes like very once in a while. She's in college, so it's sort of like whatever time chunks that she can give us. Sometimes it's on a Friday and sometimes we don't see her for weeks, you know. But she does feel like family. And then I have that thought though, like she does so many fun things with them, and it's sad. It's like, yeah, how do we not always be working, and or how do you bring them in? I don't know. It's just like these are the questions and the sacrifices of parents being a parent, and there is ways that you can rope them in too. So, okay, I have to ask you, what are your sports snacks? What are your favorite sports snacks when you're gone for hours?
Yeah. So it's crazy because we just did the Costco thing. So this is my 80-20 because, as you know, the options available are like Doritos and fruit roll-ups. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
So as much as like, I don't even love, like we are bears. We buy them from Costco, buy like the box load. It's like dried fruit. They make them in like, you know, fun. We love to do that. We do beef sticks. Someone told me recently they're giving kids colon cancer.
No, because I will email you. Lily Nichols wrote a really amazing article. Have you seen that?
I haven't finished it, but I was like, it gave me enough peace to be like, yes, we still do the beef sticks.
Yep.
And I actually do make some, like, I make egg bites and we'll bring them. Or like last night I made just large batches of these burritos with cassava. We do steak, we do guac, we do raw cheddar, and we do a really high quality salsa. I made them, I rolled them up, and we took them to the baseball field. So there's a lot where it's like, it does take a little bit of extra prep, but we've done tuna salad at the baseball field before with sourdough crackers. We, you know, the other night, and this is sometimes what I'll do. I went to Whole Foods. I got their paleo chicken breasts in the refrigerated section and one of their goat cheese field salads, and I diced it up, and that's what Isaac and I were going to eat at the game. So I'm not always making everything, but I do make it a lot. And so yeah, we like a lot of the things from Costco. Dried fruit is also, like, we love from natural grocers. We get the unsulfured dried mangoes. That, you know, I know depending on like teeth stuff with kids can be a no-no, but our kids also love seaweed. They eat like probably not enough iodine in like the world, but like they're just eating a ton of seaweed. And so we love the seaweed snacks. They're, you know, and then we bring fruit. Like I bring clementines. We mowed through an entire bag of clementines the last practice. And I was like, great, you know, it's fine.
I know.
So I mean, we do, you know, there are a couple of things. Like, I don't love that we're doing some of the more processed snacky stuff, but I'm also not going to sweat it because I just am not going to. They're burning enough calories where, like, it doesn't matter. Today, you'll be really proud of me. Naked Doritos were in my Costco, and I was like, I'm going to read the ingredients and be open to the fact that I might someday purchase these. Still not good enough, but I at least read the bag. I at least went over there and I was like, I'm gonna see. So, you know, we do a lot of hummus, tons of hummus, and I love little sesame hummus. They have olive oil in their kids' ones, and we do the olive oil little sesame with organic pretzel chips, or we'll do sometimes the sourdough crackers. And so we have the things, but, you know, pickles, my kids love fermented foods. We do a lot of pickles, but yeah. So
you're hauling in like a huge Yeti with ice and like a wagon.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And they tell you're not supposed to bring it, but I'm like, you know what? I did it once. I swear, I probably paid for every single person their salary. Okay, because we bought concessions twice. It was not even good food, and I was like, I'm not doing this again. You know? So
no. Sometimes I'll get it in my head. I'm like, ooh, a crappy hot dog tastes so good sometimes, and then I do it and I'm like, ew, this did not, like, this was not, in my head it was much more romantic than what ended up being. Okay, well, Alyssa, thank you so much for sharing all your insights, and I think it's so cool that the way that your story came about, and then there's so many parallels between our lives too as moms, and it's just really nice to hear how it's working for somebody who has a successful business and is homeschooling, spending lots of time with her kid. You know what I mean? You kind of assume it's got to be one or the other. You can't have both. And it does take a lot of like really intentional time and patience and all the different things. But I just love hearing the way that the story works. And I want to say too, I know we've been talking about bone broth, but the tallow is, my dad came over the other day and fried up some, I wasn't sure how I was going to make them. My husband's gotten into making smash burgers on the Blackstone. And I was like, okay, we have this really awesome fry cutter where you just like clink down, you know, it's so easy to make them with the potatoes. And I was trying to debate how much time we had, because sometimes in the oven fries can take like an hour. And so my dad was like, let me just fry them up. Like, here, I'll use this tallow, because it was just sitting on our counter. And I hadn't even used it yet. And it was, they were so good. We're doing them again tonight. They were so good. And then I want to tell another story, which is that I have this friend in Portland who, anytime her and her kids get sick or even start to get a little sniffle, and one of her children is severely disabled, is on an NG tube. Actually, he has like a J tube, and like severe cerebral palsy from a birth accident. And then the other child is 7, and he, Bennett, has not been sick for like a year and a half, because whenever he starts to get sick, she puts her him on like a 24-hour fast of his normal food and only puts in bone broth.
Wow.
And then with her 7-year-old, she does the same thing and they get into keto and her 7-year-old pees on the little stick and they only drink like bone broth and maybe they'll eat like a little bit of meat or something, but they're very, very minimal with the food. And then boom, no illness. Like it just, she's done this for about 2 years now. It's so interesting. She's been talking to me about getting into keto and fasting for a while. And I'm like a little nervous because of my, obviously I can't do it pregnant or breastfeeding, but with the fast metabolism, I'm like, Stephanie, I don't know how this would work for me. I think I might like wither away into the dust, but it's not like you can't have anything. It's not like you're literally not eating anything. You're just getting into keto in this kind of way through, she just drinks tons and tons of bone broth. And I think there's so many amazing usages and applications. I had to mention those though at the end here. So I really appreciate all your insight. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes. Thank you for having me. It's lovely. I love being able to talk about this side of my life because everyone wants to know about the business and we're like, you know, the broth baby is just one of seven, right? It's like we have this whole other part of our life that we love to talk about. So
wait, actually, I do have to ask you, how did you decide? Are you done? And how have you decided that? Because that's such a hard thing. If you don't mind me asking a very invasive question.
No, it's so interesting because I don't know if we're done, but we, for the first time, we're like, hey, you know, we really would only like a girl. And I just don't feel like you can be in, like, just, we don't feel like we can be in that place where we're like, and of course we would be happy, boy or a girl, but it's like, we just felt like for us, like, hey, we are content with our family. We love it. Yes, I'm already praying for the granddaughters, right? Honestly, and can't, you know, but it's like, we're starting to for the first time, kind of have that conversation of, hey, maybe this is what our family looks like. We talked about, you know, our ages and my husband's age and just like us saying, okay, you know, how much longer do we want it? We always say it's like a 2-year cycle back into baby land.
Like the first running it back.
And you know, how many times are we going to do that? And, but the boys, what I love is that the boys have had a positive experience and they want us to have more kids. And I think that's so sweet. Like even if we don't, and that's not, you know, what happens, the boys want us to have, and that to me was so meaningful. Like they keep asking, are you going to have another baby? Cause of course the baby is 2.5 now.
It's time. Yeah.
They're like, are you going to have another baby? Are you going to have another baby? And it was really, I just love that they're not like, are you going to have another baby? Like, you
know? Yeah. It's more of a, they wish and want. My son too. Yeah. So my 10-year-old was the another huge, I mean, obviously we're not making a choice based on like just purely his request, but I was blown away at how adamant he was. One time we were, you know, I'm being a naturopathic doctor in the birth world and stuff. We talk about all sorts of things. And so I was having a conversation with my husband about vasectomies and what are we going to do in the future? Yeah. Luckily we've been very blessed and get pregnant super easily, but it's also like very kind of scary when you don't want to become pregnant anymore. What are you going to do? And he was like, well, what does that mean? So I was explaining the whole thing and I was explaining my Oura ring and why I'm tracking my cycle so that I don't get pregnant right now. This is last year, you know, and he started crying and he was like, he's like, but you love having babies, but why don't you want to have any more babies? He's like, please, please, mom, please have one more. Like, and he just, cause he was inferring the situation, which was like, we're trying to take steps to not have any more kids. So, and that was not okay in his mind, you know? And I at that time was still pushing for this fifth, but my husband was kind of not. And you know, when you're not quite on the same page, it goes back and forth. It waxes, it wanes. Sometimes he's just with this pregnancy, sometimes he's making jokes about the sixth and he's like, when we have our last baby. And I'm like, you're 44. Like, what are you? I do love being pregnant and I love giving birth. I mean, I feel like we're similar that way. Postpartum is when it hits me though. That's the belly of the beast. You too. Yeah.
Journey back, girl. I just,
no fun.
Yeah. And my husband was like, you know, it was an interesting comment too, because we have given so much of, I've been having babies for 10 years and, you know, he was like,
13 years.
Yeah, you're right. Why did I say 10? That's not funny.
Wrong.
But he was like, oh, I feel like you just got back to fully yourself. You know, and that's yep. something like that's just a reality with me. Like the road back is long. I love being pregnant. I love having the babies. Even the first like 1 to 2 months is awesome. And then it's like, oof, it's just hard. It's yep. just hard. And so that's, you know, one of those things where we're like, okay, what's the best stewardship of like me and my body and my time and for the boys in our family, like, because that does also take me away from them for a little bit too. When I do that, when I, you know, that is a just, I don't have as much mental energy during that season either. So yes, we could very likely to be done, but it's not because we didn't love it. Right. It's not
100%.
Because we didn't love it. And it's not because we wouldn't welcome like 20 more. It's like, it's a stewardship thing. And it's, again, it's like, hey, we are feel so blessed with what we have. So
yeah, I feel very similarly. There's so many amazing things. And I think the net overall is a benefit. It's just how many times do we feel like we can, yeah, go through it and keep going and then missing out on the older ones, certain phases of their older life, you know, because you just, yeah, for me, exactly. It takes like about 2 years. I'm like, okay, I don't even know who I am yet. And then you come back online. So anyway, wow, I feel like we could talk for 100 years. Thank you so much, Alyssa.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So appreciate it. Okay, thank you. Are you pregnant or you're trying to conceive and you're looking for reliable natural health information about how to have a healthy pregnancy and also prepare for the future steps in motherhood to come, like the birth, the breastfeeding, and the postpartum? Because I have got you. So this is exactly the reason why I made the 6-week pregnancy call. And it's my most comprehensive resource. It's the thing that I absolutely love. I've poured my heart and soul into it. It's all of the things that I wish that every woman knew when they are entering motherhood. It's a pregnancy health course, birth prep series, breastfeeding 101 class, and a postpartum planning course all in one. And normally I run it as a class with live Q&A calls, but now it's available in a content-only format so that you can purchase it at any time and start learning immediately. It's called the lessons-only format, and it is just only all of the video lessons that you'll get access to for forever. So log on to milkmedicine.com/lessons-only or check out the link in the show notes.
In order for others to hear this information, please leave a review with Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and share with a friend who would benefit from this content. Please remember that the views and ideas from this podcast are for informational purposes only and are not intended to be a substitute for medical care of any kind, including the diagnosis and treatment of any disease. Consult with your provider before integrating any of this information into your own healthcare plan. A healthier future starts now, and it starts with you.